in the world. There's chaos. We're surrounded by chaos. Remember how Genesis starts off. In the beginning, there was chaos. And the story of the 7 days in Genesis is a story of bringing order out of chaos. And it's up to us, as the children of God, to bring order out of chaos. In order to have order, and to have peace, we must mature in our own priorities. We must have priorities. It's priorities that give order to chaos. We've got to get our acts together. We've got to learn to control the chaos in our lives with the grace of God. This is wisdom. This is what Solomon was praying for. We need wisdom, God's wisdom. It's very easy to discover and measure even the maturity of a person by their values and their priorities and how well defined these priorities are. Which ones are more important to them? Perhaps it's their faith and their hope for eternal life. That's a pearl of great value. Perhaps it's their family. Perhaps it's their work. Maybe it's sports. Perhaps it's simply pleasure. It's a tragic situation when a person has no demonstrable, defined values or priorities, or they change all the time. They don't have anything to guide them through the chaos in their own lives. They themselves contribute to their own chaos. In their immaturity, they're lost. Living in chaos. They lack wisdom. It's sad when people allow their personal habits to become more important to them than other people, such as perhaps happens with people who allow themselves to become prisoners of alcohol or drugs or sex or even abusive anger to the detriment of themselves and their loved ones, everybody that's around them. You can understand a great deal about a person by recognizing what's truly important to them. I wish more couples preparing for marriage spent more time learning these things about each other. What's important to the other person? Our priorities determine the direction of our lives. Why would a soldier throw himself on a live grenade to save his companions unless he had some priorities like he gave more value to the well-being of others around him? Those were predetermined in him before the grenade was ever thrown. Today we continue with Jesus' parables, which speak of priorities and values. When he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. That's what the soldier did when he fell on the grenade. He gave everything. And we should all possess a treasure that is so precious that we would sell everything we have to possess it. In my own case, I'll share with you that my pearl of great price has been my faith since my conversion. My faith and the church. I'm in love with the church. And later it included my marriage and our family. And these treasures have shaped and guided me and all my decisions all my adult life. When my wife died and I became a widower, these values continued shaping my options and decisions with the help of God. I can see His grace. Likewise, our misplaced priorities can cause us immense chaos and pain. When you observe or experience pain in your lives or see it in other people's lives, take a close look at their related priorities. Allow me to point out some examples of some misplaced priorities. Wives come to me once in a while telling me that their spouses don't want to be married to them anymore. Perhaps these men say things to them like, "I want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Don't I have a right to be happy?" And these men reveal by their actions and their statements that they do not possess a value beyond themselves. They reveal their selfishness. They reveal that their own happiness is more valuable to them than their marriages, their spouses, their children. And perhaps they're alcoholics or addicted to drugs or sex outside their marriage. They're selfish. They're immature, like children, whose cares are only for themselves, regardless of the pain they are causing their own families. They lack wisdom of heart. Another example involving those whose priorities are misplaced. In my experience as a permanent deacon years ago, when I was a candidate for the diaconate years ago, we were instructed in classes frequently that our sacrament of holy matrimony, our marriage, always held a higher priority than our diaconal ministry. Marriage came first, then our jobs, because our marriage involved our commitment to support our families. Only when we had satisfied the requirements and responsibilities of our marriages and our jobs were we free to exercise our diaconal ministry. I've known men who place their ministry above their marriages and their families, telling their spouses that they should understand that the church came first in their lives. This is wrong, and the church knows it. But it's caused a great deal of pain. Today, as a widower, I'm free to pursue being a priest, a spouse of the church. I'm in love with the church. It's my pearl of great price. My responsibilities to my family have been met. I'm married to the church now, and there is no other priority that can come between us. There's no conflict. There's no competition. This is the only way that I can be your pastor. When I hear the public discussions about married priests, oh, how wonderful it would be if we had married priests, I know this discussion is to be shallow and groundless. It's not going anywhere. It's not well thought out. If the church cannot first define which sacrament has priority, marriage or holy orders, then there can only be pain and chaos in a married priesthood. Yes, it's been done in other churches, but they will tell you they're having problems and always have had. That's why only bishops in the Orthodox churches, the only one who can be bishops are the ones who've never been married. That's the choice of that church. They have learned that experience. The church should not go in this direction. The priesthood isn't a job. It's a priority relationship, much like a marriage. And there can be no competition between the spouse and the church. There can be no married priesthood unless this matter of priority is resolved. Something always has to come first. Something always has to be most important, and it should always be marriage and family if that's what's present. Once in a while, a man will say to me, his work is more important than his family. You see this sometimes in doctors, and they have high rates of divorce, and such conflicts just cause a great deal of pain. Another example of misplaced priorities and serious, painful problems occurs when one of the marriage partners is confused with respect to the priority relationships in the marriage. For example, before the marriage, the priorities of a person should be first, in order of relationships, parents. Second, brothers and sisters and family. Third, friends and people outside the family. First, second, third. As long as you keep those things straight, everything's going to be just fine. We can see when adolescents begin to be confused in their priorities, telling their families that their friends are more important than their families. Pain, conflict, confusion. Now let's talk about after marriage. The priorities should change to permit a healthy marriage. First, for those who are married, comes their marriage partner. Number one, this person becomes the permanent biggest baby for that spouse. They will never have a baby more important than that baby, their spouse. That's number one. Second comes children. And if they get the first and the second confused, there's going to be pain and there's going to be conflict. Third come parents. And only then come siblings and friends. You'd be surprised how many marriages are under pressure this way because one or the other of them gets that priority out of order. And the result is pain and conflict when these things become confused. And we shouldn't be surprised that separation and divorce happen when these priorities are confused. Priorities, very important in our lives. Which comes first? Which is second? We need to have that pretty well defined. That's wisdom. What's most important? That's wisdom. We better get these straight in our lives and get our act together. These are going to guide all of our decisions and our lives and explain a lot of problems. And if they get out of order, these can be a source of unlimited pain and division. And our sacramental life should be our priority, including our marriage. When we find a pearl of great price, we should sell everything to possess it.